Thanks, Nathan. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. It's time now for Living Questions, our monthly series in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. Well, about 13 hours ago, it was wheels up for Pope Francis, following a packed schedule of events in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia that included an historic speech before a joint session of the U.S. Congress, an address to the largest group of world leaders ever assembled in one place at the United Nations, a controversial canonization mass, visits to a prison and a homeless shelter, and huge adoring crowds witnessing every public step he took. This morning, a conversation about the Pope's American sojourn with a Catholic scholar, a Jewish academic and blogger, and a Muslim radio host and professor of communications. John Gehring is a native Baltimorean who is the Catholic Program Director at Faith in Public Life, an advocacy group in Washington. He's also the author of a new book called The Francis Effect, A Radical Pope's Challenge to the American Catholic Church. He joins me in the studio. Good morning. It's good to see you.
Good morning. Great to be here.
And on the phone from his office at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, is Mark Silk. He's the founding director of the Greenberg Center for the Study of Religion in Public Life at Trinity, where he is also a professor of religion in public life. He writes the blog Spiritual Politics as a contributing editor at the Religion News Service, and he's chair of the editorial advisory board of the Connecticut Jewish Ledger. Dr. Silk, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Delighted to be here.
Glad to have you. And joining us on the phone from her home in Silver Spring is Sahar Kamis. She's an associate professor of communication at the University of Maryland. She hosts a radio show on U.S. Arab Radio, the first Arab-American radio station broadcasting in North America. Dr. Kamis, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. So, John Gehring, let me start with you. Any surprises during this visit from the Pope, who, as you say in the title of your book, you know, is challenging American Catholics?
You know, there's nothing that jumped out as a total surprise. I mean, I think what we saw during this visit was a Pope who came to the most powerful nation in the world, but who really had his most animated moments off the beaten path of officialdom. So, you know, you see him embrace sort of the sick and the elderly, and you see him joking kind of on the sidelines. You know, he could have had lunch with the powerful after he, you know, spoke to Congress. Instead, he had lunch with the homeless. And I think, you know, that was very emblematic of kind of his visit and lifting up the voices of the margins. And so I think really a remarkable, inspiring visit, and also a very challenging one for all of us.
But consistent with what we'd known about Francis before he actually graced the shores. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
And Mark Silk, the Pope's visit to Washington coincided with Yom Kippur, so perhaps on the first day, at least observant Jews weren't paying that much attention. But what do you think the Jewish community hopes for with Pope Francis, or hoped for before he came, and do you think they got it?
Well, I don't know if there was any particular hope. There was a little bit of, distress expressed about the Yom Kippur phenomenon. I think the fact that the Pope in Philadelphia made an unscheduled, and I guess you have to put that in quotation marks, visit to the Institute for Jewish Catholic Relations at St. Joseph's to see or to bless this new bronze of the synagogue and the church. Maybe took a little of the edge off of that. Certainly, you know, with his good buddy Rabbi Skorka from Buenos Aires, I think you know, there is a sense with this Pope that Jewish-Catholic relations are actually not just something that he tips his hat to because 50 years ago Vatican II said that you know, the church was turning over a leaf, but that this is something that really matters to him.
And you think it matters to him more so than his predecessors, Benedict or John Paul II?
I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I think certainly it mattered a lot for John Paul II with his experience, and I think Benedict as well. I mean, the church is really, I wouldn't want to make invidious distinctions there, but I think, as with so much in the present Pope, there's a feeling that this is really from the heart.
And Sahar Kamis, you cover very closely the Muslim media. You pay close attention to that. How did the Muslim media around the world cover the Pope's visit to the United States?
there was a positive coverage of him, of his visit to the U.S., because he does have a different image, you know, from day one, from the very first minute, you know, coming from a non-Western background, Latin American origin, you know, having this kind of persona where he's really focused on, you know, being a voice for the voiceless, for the underprivileged, the undermined and marginalized groups, gave him a different edge. And this was reflected in a lot of welcoming statements, positive coverage in not just the media and the press, but also in Muslim circles in the U.S. and beyond. And there were welcoming statements issued by a number of mosques and Islamic centers, including the Adams Mosque, which is really very well known for its interfaith activities in the Washington, D.C. and Virginia area here in the U.S. They issued statements welcoming the Pope's visit to the U.S. And I should say his image is different, really, from his predecessor, especially Benedictus. You know, there was some kind of controversy known that, you know, there was some tension at some point about some of the statements that he issued and, you know, what they really meant in terms of Muslim-Christian relations. That is not the case with Francis, who is seen more as having a healing message that is very humane, very personable, and also caring for issues that are important to the Muslim world, such as the Syrian refugee crisis, where he really said in his statement or in his speech that we should, quote-unquote, see their faces in talking about the Syrian refugees. That really touched a very, very important chord with the Muslim community and resonated very well with them.
And John Gehring, does the Pope challenge Americans in any different way than he challenges, you know, Cubans the couple of days before he came here, or the Bolivians, or who he saw a few months ago? Is there a particular message to Americans?
I think so. I think both culturally and politically, you know, the United States sort of has a radical individualism sort of woven into our DNA. I think the Pope's communitarian message, this idea of the common good, which came up again and again to his address to Congress, is important. I think, you know, obviously we're the epicenter of global capitalism, and the Pope has not been shy about critiquing what he calls an economy of exclusion and inequality that kills. So, and also before the Pope's visit here, he acknowledged some of his strongest, fiercest critics were here in the United States. So I do think, in some sense, the United States was kind of his toughest room, so to speak, so far in terms of all the countries he's visited. And I think you saw a Pope who, again, offers kind of a elevating the conversation, an inspiring message, but one that's sort of deeply challenging to a political and financial status quo that I think he sees as benefiting the wealthy at the expense of so many.
On 88.1, it's Living Questions. I'm Tom Hall. John Gehring is here with me in the studio. He's the Catholic Director at Faith and Public Life. On the phone from Trinity College in Connecticut, Mark Silk. And on the phone from the University of Maryland is Sahar Kamis. Mark Silk, you blogged during the Pope's visit and just before about the tremendous approval rating that Pope Francis has among Catholics. He's basically flipped the dial between himself and his predecessor, Benedict. But there were also, you also blogged about potential missteps, and a lot of people have pointed out a misstep perhaps on the way he handled or discussed the child abuse scandal. He got some criticism for meeting with not only victims of abuse by clergy, but including in that meeting people who were not clergy, educators and whatnot, sort of lumping everybody together. How do you think that played outside the Catholic audience he was addressing?
Well, I mean, it's going to be hard for the criticism to get through all the applause. I do think that you know, one of the places that you know, in this current trip, that he drew the most fire was for seeming to make nice to the bishops when he met with them at Catholic University and sort of saying they'd been doing such a great job. You know, he just fired, or you know, accepted the resignation. You can interpret it as you want, of two bishops for you know, who had mishandled abuse cases. You know, so I'm not sure that his you know, he's on a learning curve on the abuse crisis. I will say though, and I think it hasn't been as noted, but it's important, is that he's the first pope. And he did this both in this country and on the ride home in his press conference, you know, who's been prepared to talk about bishops who covered the thing up. And so, you know, this is, I think this hasn't come as naturally to him as to some others, I think, you know, and he's come in for a fair share of criticism. But, you know, we'll see how it turns out. There's a new tribunal which is supposed to be going to hear cases against bishops, and you know, and there have been these couple of removals. So I think while the jury is still out, you know, you know, I remain hopeful that he's handling the matter.
And Sahar Karmis, in terms of his the emphasis he placed on the interreligious dialogue during this trip, he was at the 9/11 memorial with you know, people from different faiths. Do you think it was played up appropriately enough? Was it given enough of a spotlight? Were you looking for more on the interreligious side of things as opposed to some of the other issues that he rose? How do you think that has played with the Muslim community in general?
I think it's an important part of his trip, an important part of how he positions himself as a religious leader and as a public figure. He really moves to a very comprehensive kind of approach that moves beyond the boundaries of just being, you know, faith-based or faith-centric or Catholic-centric to being human-centric, which adds to his, you know, very profound personalism, universal, you know, leadership type of approach, a more comprehensive type of of being a pope. And this kind of approach really kind of resonated very well with the Muslim community and did receive a lot of applause. But I must also say that it was somehow overshadowed, if I must say, by, you know, by other important issues that he raised and his, you know, state of the soul address to the Congress and issues that he raised in terms of, you know, pinpointing issues related to the economic structure, the political structure, some of his soft criticism, but still very powerful criticism of some of the issues related to the gap between the poor and rich and, you know, how society is run. I think that the interfaith message was important, but I think it should have received more attention and more coverage.
And John Gehring, in a week or two, I guess next week, the Pope is summoning 250 bishops to Rome for a synod. They're going to discuss things like divorce, contraception, homosexuality. Was his trip to the United States a precursor of what we can expect during that synod? Do we get any tips about what's going to happen next week?
In some sense, yes. You know, the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia was the primary reason that the Pope came to the United States. And so, as you mentioned, this, you know, the second act of, you know, a major global meeting on families, you'll have cardinals and bishops from around the world talking about how the church in a more pastoral way can reach out to the complexity of families in the modern culture. And, you know, the first act of that was quite contentious. You had open debate among cardinals over things like, you know, communion for, you know, remarried and divorced Catholics, how the church can do a better job reaching out to LGBT Catholics. And so I think, you know, this is a Pope who wants debate. He sees it as healthy, and I think we'll see more of that in a few weeks.
Well, Sahar Karmis, Mark Silk, and John Gehring, thank you very much for your time and your insight. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
John Gehring is the Catholic director at Faith in Public Life. His new book is called The Francis Effect, A Radical Pope's Challenge to the American Catholic Church. Mark Silk is on the faculty of Trinity College in Connecticut, and Sahar Karmis is a professor of communication at the University of Maryland and a host on U.S. Arab Radio. You've been listening to Living Questions, our monthly series on religion in the public sphere, produced by WIPR in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. You can hear this and the other conversations in our Living Questions series when you visit our website, WIPR.com/livingquestions.